Action Park Media.
I won't deny you, I'm a straight rider. You don't wanna fuck with me. Got the police busting at me, but they can't do nothing to you.
Welcome to Victory the Podcast. I'm Doug Ellen.
Kevin Connolly here. We are digging back in with this bonus episode of the JSX Queens Boulevard International Film Festival.
It's been a long time. You think people still remember?
Of course. Well, we're going to reshow the stuff. But a lot of stuff happened. Dylan got sick. You were in the desert. So we got to get back into this thing. We got Leo Kai coming in. It was an honorable mention. He's
him?
Great. There he is right there.
Is that him?
Yeah.
He's early.
Yeah. So are you?
Yeah, we can roll early.
Should we roll?
What do you want to do? We should get an opening of some kind. Because, I mean, people are talking about the last episode, and now there's almost like pressure. This was what used to happen on Entourage. I'd see a message board like, that was the best episode. Then you start to feel stress about the next episode, and I'm making this worse because now people are going to judge this. But you said you had stuff to talk about, so I was counting on you to lead us.
I don't really have... there's a lot to talk about and nothing to talk about at the same time. Yeah, it was a fun episode. But I'm excited to get into the.
So you don't want to do stuff. Any kind of open.
But you want to rehash like the last episode?
Oh, I thought you had things to talk about.
I told you I didn't.
No. You told me you did have things to talk about.
Yeah, I want to talk about the film festivals and the spirit of independent filmmaking. Doug.
So you want to talk about that?
No, I'm saying like we said after we watched it, we're like, well, they should have all been winners, right? And they all are winners, right?
Yeah.
It's just we had to lock in on one, but of course they're all coming on the podcast.
Are you embarrassed to look at this guy now and tell him that you did not vote for him?
Well, who's to say I didn't vote for him? You don't know who I voted for.
You forced my hand on votes.
No, that's not true. That's not true.
All right.
What do you got?
I got nothing, I guess. I don't know. I mean, I'm trying to live up
You're just coming off of the high that we had a good little
No,
run.
I don't even have a high. It's just, I mean, it was kind of accidental conversation. I never knew that you slept at the ranch, and I was kind of fascinated by it. And the combination of you being stoned and talking about being at Michael Jackson's, it led to a lot of comedy. And Dylan buried you, let's be honest.
Dylan didn't bury me. Dylan can't bury me.
I mean, he crushed
Dylan
you.
Buried himself when he read a Buddy Games 2 review. Right? So,
did you watch Buddy Games yet?
I haven't.
Are you going to?
I am, dude. I'm tired. I come home.
You don't have to
leave here.
I
got the baby.
Me,
baby's got an ear infection. I don't know
why you're talking to me like I care.
There's not a lot of. Well, have you seen it?
I paid for it. I don't know that I'll ever see
you
it.
You did. I don't believe you paid for it.
I paid for it.
I would like you to send me your receipt.
I will send you my iTunes
that
receipt.
Says purchased.
Done. That's an easy.
Well, at least give it a download too.
Yeah.
Start playing it.
Does it matter? I'll play it.
I honestly,
I don't think I'm going to watch it.
Right.
I don't think I'm going to like it.
You don't have to like it. You're supporting your buddy. But if you paid for it, I guess it doesn't matter.
Yeah. I mean, that's the key, right? I'll wear a shirt. I'll promote it. All right. I'll watch it.
Well, here's the other thing, too. And like I said, we talked about it, but Dylan has meaningful participation in that movie. And for people that don't really know what that is, a lot of times, because, you know, actors, of course, are at the bottom of the barrel and they get treated as such all the time. So they'll try to throw you some kind of back end. As if it matters, and it never really amounts to anything. And then there's certain deals where you truly have real participation. So if this movie were to do well, Dylan does stand to make a little money. So let's promote it for him.
I'll promote it. I'm not going to download it twice, though. I mean, I'm not going to pay again.
No, all I'm saying is that because I was helping promote Buddy Games 2.
You want something for it.
No, I had a link, so I didn't have to pay for it. That's all I said.
But you still could buy it.
I still could buy it. That's true.
You haven't even watched the free link. I mean, that's
true. I've watched pieces of it. Yeah,
you watch a lot of hockey, though.
A lot going on, bro. Hockey
seems stressed.
Hockey starts early. I'm not stressed.
No?
I'm not stressed. I'm unstressed.
Yeah?
Actually unstressed. Yeah.
All right. Well, I guess, I don't know. I was looking for some type opening before just to get into this.
I just can't. The pressure build. You want me to top the Michael Jackson?
No, I don't want you to top that. And I don't want anyone to get mad at us. Oh, that was so much better. And now Dylan's not here. You guys aren't funny. I'm sure we'll hear that, which we get it. I'm not even defensive. Dylan's funnier than both of us. Great. God bless him. That's why he's in Buddy Games 2 and we're not.
Do you think that Dylan was funnier than me in that episode?
I thought both of you were hilarious. Hilarious. I mean, I was just enjoying it.
Right.
Although someone again says I interrupted. By the way, just so we can be clear, I'm the least interrupter of the group. 1,000,000%. I'll put it down in writing if we could have someone statistically break it down. I would bet that. I was enjoying myself listening to it. I threw in a couple of things here and there, but I was dying, and I am fascinated by it.
You might not love the way that data came back, bro.
What data?
Jumping in.
Data. Oh, believe me, I know it. I guarantee I'll bet my life on it. I will, and there's a couple of people who want me to walk away from the podcast for the good of you and Kevin and Kevin. I'll walk away from the
really
podcast.
If you really loved the Kevins, you'd walk away.
I would walk away. I would just leave and go about my business. The last thing I'll talk about before we bring on Leo, who honestly.
We got questions for this guy.
Well, I'm just like, we just watched the film again, and I'm like, we're like hacks. I don't even understand how he did this.
Right.
Like, I mean, honestly, I've made a lot of fucking film in my day, but I've never been a special effects guy on the movie, which, like it or not, I thought it was genius what Mark Mylod did with the...
With Hyde.
I had literally zero to do with that except for calling Mark Mylod up and going, would you do me a favor? It's yours. Make a movie that you want to make. I have nothing
Hyde
to do with it.
Hyde can be anything.
Anything.
Just has to be a DJ.
Yeah.
Right?
I don't even know. Well, maybe he did.
Yeah, I think that was part of
it. But whatever the little characters, when I said, Mark, it's your movie, you will have complete creative control. Just like he did with the Medellin trailer, by the way.
And then you just sit back and enjoy and you go, holy fuck, how'd you do that?
Yeah, and I remember some reviews were like, oh, that movie looks so... I thought I looked amazing.
Right.
That's not my kind of film necessarily.
Right.
I would have gone and seen Hyde and Medellin. How about you?
Well, Medellin, if nothing else, at that point you see it for the train wreck that it was. you know, one of the things, we're going to bring Leo on in a second, but there was a few, very few ground rules, and we got into this a little bit with Dylan. But the only thing it had to be was original. You had to say at some point, I am Queens Boulevard, and it had to be exactly 90 seconds long. And those are really the only...
Oh, exactly.
Or not exactly. Under. It couldn't be longer than 90 seconds.
Right.
But Leo's movie, he explodes out of the gates, and the first thing he does is get rid of the I am Queens Boulevard.
Yeah.
Right? So you knew he was going through the checklist. But I guess I have more production questions for him.
Are we going to get into that real quick? Last thing before you bring him up.
This is like you trying to get the magic back that was going with Dylan, where like the shitting on Connolly party, and it's just not as funny.
I am not trying. I'm asking funny. Questions. Kevin has a birthday party for his daughter, which... I sort of get an invite, but right. When I say I didn't really get an invite, he says, you're always invited, as if I'm supposed
but
to just show up at his house.
An invite.
Like, you emailed it to Sarah. I didn't
email it to anybody.
You're not as high this week because he's angry this week.
I'm not angry. I'm just like, you're just swinging and missing left and right, trying to get me in the hot seat.
Oh, my God. Do you hear what he just said?
It's just not, Doug. Whatever you're doing is just not as funny.
Scotty did it. I didn't do anything.
It's funnier when Dylan does it. It's funnier when Dylan does it.
Meanwhile, you're going to get me in trouble with some of these fans now who don't actually understand the subleties of what goes on here.
Did you let Luke, the Irish guy, out of...
I let him in the thing. This is not being mean. You are my brother. I feel an edge on you today that I didn't feel last week. Did you have a little sip of any alcohol today?
I did not, no.
Swear to God.
I swear to God, what time is it? It's 2:45.
Did you get stoned?
No. No, I did. I took, believe me, Doug, I always have to take a hit off the one hitter when I know you're anywhere in the
facility.
Oh, my
God. He is on a whole other level.
Not a whole other level.
Listen, I didn't know
you're trying
upset.
To like, re-
no, no,
I'm
no.
Not upset. You're
I,
trying to
I
recreate
had no
this
idea this
magic.
Was sensitive.
You're trying to recreate this
I now
magic
get it. I'm sorry I upset you. I apologize for my part in this. I did not. I did not know
still
you.
Still trying to go down the same unfunny road.
Scotty,
who's
help
upset?
Me here.
Who's
Why is he upset about this?
I'm not upset.
I would have never brought this up if I thought he was. I thought we were going to get something like out of him that wasn't anger, but that's fine.
Because if you got a couple laughs, right? On the
no,
last
I got
episode,
no laughs. I got no laughs.
You want to try to change the narrative on the podcast where like I'll just be in the hot seat for every episode with you and
no.
Dylan? Because, you know, there's a flip side to that coin, bro.
You can come after
I can
me
come
all
after all you
Wait,
guys
I just
start wanna, crying.
Are you upset about the Michael Jackson thing? Or because you were such a good spirit.
No,
about
I'm not upset about the Michael Jackson
okay,
thing at
I
all.
Just,
what I see happening, Doug, is I see, like, we had a good little run there. And then you
God.
Wanted to come back today and just have it to continue. And it's just a different vibe.
I
today.
Swear to God, I just wanted to have something to talk to you about because you're my friend and I missed you this week.
Just
I,
say, like, hey, great bit that we did on
great bit.
Great bit
day.
On the Neverland
yeah, great
Ranch. How do we jump back in and match that? It just has to happen organically. It doesn't seem to be clicking away on all cylinders.
I'm sorry. I apologize because
right.
I've upset you. Anyway, we will come
Who's
back.
Who's upset? I'm not upset.
Who's upset?
I'm not upset at all.
I'm trying to bang this broad for 3 fucking weeks.
What's this guy talking about? What are you talking about?
All right, well,
although Zulai and Kennedy and her mom are going to Sedona for a woman's...
Boys will play. So will you make an appearance? Like, will you watch the playoff game? Or
we might try to go to the hockey game in Vegas.
Oh, okay.
Trying to, but Sean's one of those guys who are like, don't worry about tickets. But it's like, but we're worried. You know what I mean? Like, he's offended at the notion of you asking him if he's going to get the tickets. And then Scotty and I are kind of looking at each other like, well, is he going to get the tickets?
I mean, come on. Sean Avery can get the tickets.
I don't know. A potential hockey clinching game. It could be, you know, in Vegas. I mean, it's not a no-brainer. You're going to have to call a couple people.
You guys need cameras with you. If Sean does not deliver those tickets, that would be
terrible. Scotty's going to vlog it.
You know, the Palm Springs team? You guys should have come out there. You know, they're in the finals in the AHL.
Really?
Got this brand new arena in Palm Springs. It's beautiful.
That ice must be really slushy, huh?
I mean,
who knows? In this day and age.
What is it, 1975? I mean, the Panthers are in Florida. And the Vegas is in Golden. What the fuck is he talking about? He's talking like it's 1980 when people used to go, they can't play hockey in a hot weather environment. I mean,
have you seen the pregame show for the Vegas Golden Knights?
The pregame show?
Like what they do in Vegas, like beforehand.
No.
There's like a duel.
No.
Like a Golden Knight, and there's like.
Oh, really?
I mean, it's the craziest thing ever, bro. It's amazing what they do.
I would love to see
that. So we'd like to go see that. But then they're chipping up the ice. You're like, you gotta send the Zamboni out there to clean up after it.
You think the Panthers have a shot?
We shall see.
Because I want Kachuk to win. All right. Anyway, again, I apologize. I hope you're not mad at me.
To apologize for.
Scotty, I apologize if anyone that guy used to pick on you in the league, if he's listening to this, I apologize to him as well. Because who was that guy, Scotty, that used to kind of
Spider?
Muscle Kevin around a little bit.
That's his name, is Spider. We called him Spider. No, he didn't muscle me around because he was Spider, bro. I don't get muscled around by
all right,
Spider.
Anyway, I also think. You're upset because Dave is not here. Stocktip is away, and we miss him.
Very upsetting. Very upsetting with Dave's gone.
All right. Well, anyway, I think we're going to get better chemistry with Leo.
Yeah.
I think part of you, which I'm willing to admit this, I looked at his short film, and I'm like, I'm a hack.
Right.
Because I could not even, I couldn't even conceive of how he did this, how much money he spent.
We couldn't explain half of it. Everybody was all over the board. There's some people saying this, that. There was so many things said, theories.
Yeah, it's really good stuff. So let's bring him on, and Kevin and I will just take a five-minute little break and get ourselves, you know, back in Action Park Media Group.
Let's go back and redo the Michael Jackson bit again. I'm happy to do it.
Kevin and I have smoothed everything over and rekindled our friendship. And
I feel much better after that break.
We have Leo K. Angelos.
Yes. That's perfect.
I'm saying K. Angelos.
Okay, Leo, who the fuck are you?
Leo, who are you? Where are you
no,
from?
Seriously.
What is happening?
Well, first of all, it's an honor to be here. Thank you guys for inviting me coming in. I thought we were going to say hi and get to know each other, like, you know, have 5 minutes out there, drink some
Kevin
water.
Does not
nope,
do
I'm
that.
Sitting no. right here in under the light, under the camera. And
you know, Kevin's a little like,
and everything, so.
I don't know if it's true because yeah. I've never, but like Ellen, you know how she treats people? Like that's
the guest.
Little bit
there we go.
You know,
there so we go. All
it's
right,
just
all right,
get in and that's
were
it.
Were you uncomfortable sitting in there listening to him attack me, verbally attack me?
No, not at all.
No,
I thought it was
funny. See, Doug,
it was funny. Yeah.
Yeah. Imagine he's like, not the Michael Jackson stuff. All right, so we're going to let Leo talk so we don't interrupt him. I want you to tell me, because I really am, I have no idea if you're a student, if you're a professional filmmaker.
Okay.
I'm blown away by what you did with, I don't know what the budget is, but I would love to hear.
Oh, we're going to get into
everything
it.
About okay. So tell me about your background.
Okay. I am not a student. I ran away from film school like 16, 17 years ago. I am a director now, and I'm a former stuntman. I spent 15 years hustling stunts and, you know, just because, I mean, the end goal was always to direct, right? And I love action movies. So, that's I'm a director.
All right. I would have said he's 25. I'm not kidding. So right. I don't know what the 15 years you're talking about. I mean, you look extremely young to me. So you're
Thank
in your
you.
40s? Is that what you're telling
no,
me?
No, I'm 35.
Okay. 30. Yes. All right. Yeah. So you
but,
were
right, as a stunt coordinator, as a guy in stunts, are you coordinating the fights?
Stunt man, not stunt coordinator.
Stunt man. Okay. The stunt
yes.
coordinator is the...
They're like, you know, right. at least 40 years old.
Right. Okay.
Right.
Yeah, yeah. So I work for stunt coordinators. They're the one who call me.
Okay. Right?
So I've had the pleasure of assisting in fight choreography here and there, mm-hmm. right? But yeah, usually I'm doing the falls and taking the hits and,
right.
you know.
How did you get into that?
You fall into it.
Yeah.
That's a stunt
Quite
person
literally.
Joke. You have to say
I
that.
I get it. I like it.
But how did I get into it? Well, so I was born in Vietnam and I grew up watching Jackie Chan action movies and, you know, Tim Burton storytelling movies, whatever, just American movies like Michael Bay, like car chases and everything. And I dreamt of being able to make movies like that one day. Right. So it's all these action movies that was my escapism that helped me just break away from that stifling communist society, not to get too political, but
yeah,
you know, I knew I wanted to run away and work in the film industry one day, right? And at that point in my life, I'm like, well, I love action movies, I love Jackie Chan, so I guess I have to do stunts, I have to do martial arts in order to know how to shoot action, right?
Okay, so you start. Do you start training in Vietnam, or what do you do?
Yeah, I trained a little bit of karate and kenjutsu, like Japanese swordsmanship and whatever, like in Vietnam. Always been active and play tennis
right.
most of my life, which is now how I play pickleball.
Are you playing pickleball?
Oh yeah. I'm getting all my stunt people into pickleball, and I'm kind of doing pretty well.
Like, we're gonna have to play.
Thanks to my tennis background. So.
Yeah.
So always been active and always wanted to make movies. So the two came together. So I ran away to America. I went to Boston first and started shooting fight scenes.
All right, but when you basically say you ran away to America, you just tell your parents goodbye, or?
Oh no! I mean, it was.
You got to get out.
It was
right?
Vietnam. Yeah, we got to get it. Yeah,
the whole family got out.
I got out on my own.
Uh-huh.
And yeah, that was quite a journey. I was pretty rebellious. Kid,
yeah,
I'm sure movies had a big part in
action movies.
Yeah, action right. movies. You know,
and did you have anyone in the States that you knew?
We had some family friends. We had some distant cousins, relatives. But we had some professors at Mass College of Art, and that's a school I got accepted into.
Right.
And it was kind of under like they knew my life was in trouble in Vietnam because I was so rebellious against the communist government. So they kind of faked some paperwork and got me to come over here. And I haven't been back since.
That's amazing. Right?
Yeah,
how do you get your first stunt under your belt? Does it start quite literally where it's like, oh, well, that's kind of stunt pay because it's a little tricky. Right. You got to fall down. What's the escalation like for stunts? How do you get to a point where you're in you're falling off a, you know, burning building and landing in the airbag?
Do you mean how do you get paid doing stunts?
No, I mean how do they go? All right, so the first one you did was you took a spill.
Yeah,
off,
like do they just say, hey, we're gonna throw you off this building?
If there's a risk of injury, then it's a stunt, right? If you're running up and down stairs and the actor doesn't have to.
But do you have to have any training or?
Oh yeah, absolutely, I mean, yeah.
So
there's a basic training course for
and
stunts.
Mindset. No, there's no like stunt school or anything. Stunt schools do exist, but not a lot of actual working stunt people go to stunt schools,
right?
You just you do gymnastics or martial arts or different.
No,
kind
but
of
I'm saying to where
then,
you get this. So you're mainly like a fight guy. Like
yeah.
you do fight mm-hmm. stunts.
Yes.
But how do you go from all right? You take a kick to getting thrown over the railing to getting thrown off the roof. Like what is the timeline on something like that? Do they say, hey, are you up for this? Or how do you feel about that?
You gotta go and do it yourself first, right? Make sure that you're up for
what
it.
What does
first.
That mean?
You go and
what? You know, jump off a roof?
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah,
you get your friends to put a mat down?
Absolutely. That's what we do.
Oh
that's so that's in between movie drops. Like that's what, like this morning at jiu-jitsu with stunt people, like we're always training together.
So you're practicing on how you can do. So then you throw your hand in the air and go, hey, guys, I know how to do that. I can do
absolutely.
A 15-foot fall off of a thing, but you will have
yes.
practiced it on your own time?
Yes. On time, on dime. That's why getting into the stunt business is brutal. It's
I mean, like, it is sounds insane. So, I mean, it's weird. I'm thinking about it now. So there's no union.
No, we're covered by SAG after.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
But it's stunt pay.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah, we get the same day rate
right.
Depending on the production, but then you get stunt bumps. You
right.
call cookies, like, you know, how many times you're doing big falls.
Right.
Right, and if the more dangerous, the more money, right?
Yes.
Right. That's crazy.
Hopefully. You know,
right, that's
on the right production with
that's
the right producers.
Thought.
Yes. Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
by the way, not, the whole thing sounds but, insane. Right?
I know.
I mean, we didn't do too many stunts, but we had a few.
Well, we did a few. How what's your biggest stunt? Is it or mainly fighting? Have you done
Have you
been on fire?
I have been on fire. I've been on fire for practice, for training.
So you learn how to be on fire.
Yes.
So when you have to, that's crazy.
So I'm ready to be on fire for a project now, but I mean, you know, I'm no longer working stunts because I got focused on directing. But,
right.
You know.
Is that what you say when they're like, hey, you ready to get on fire? You're like, yeah, I worked on this with a couple of buddies all weekend. I mean, that's...
Well, we will have the footage to show for it. And through conversation, like, you got to prove to them that you actually know what you're talking about. And that's the job of a good stunt coordinator.
Are
right?
you reading books on how to light yourself on fire?
Well, it's a community, right?
Yeah, that's the thing that you train with community.
Wow.
Like
the it's a whole world who, I actually didn't know. This
how
was,
do you light yourself on fire?
Great question. You well, you get a really good fire coordinator first.
You know, right. Make sure you got a top-notch
fire safety
coordinator
first, and you listen to everything they say, and you give them the right time to do it. But as the performer, you're people will be putting the gel on you, and the gel is usually super, super cold.
Okay.
Right? And then you're wearing clothing that's like that's specific, that's not gonna burn and melt into your skin. And
yes,
whatnot,
that would be nice.
Right.
That'd be nice.
And then the problem with the gel is that it can be so cold that you don't feel the heat until it's too late.
So the gel goes on your skin.
It goes on your skin. Yes.
And then you put the clothes on over that. That's crazy. So it's there to protect your skin as the last second.
Yes.
Yeah. Wow. And then what's flammable?
You put flammable liquid on the clothes.
Like lighter fluid, like they spray it, some version of that, right?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
All right, Leo, you're out of your fucking mind. Okay, so but Eddie Braun did some stunt coordinating stuff for us, and he did this movie. I think it's called Stuntman.
He jumps the. Mm-hmm. Was he jumping?
Did you see that?
He jumps the Grand Canyon.
He does what Evel Knievel tried to do. He gets in a little tin rocket and shoots. It's not even the Grand Canyon. I think
Snake River or something.
Yeah. Incredible. Yeah.
And he's nuts.
Yeah.
So I know you escaped communist Vietnam, so maybe you say, oh, this is no big deal, lighting myself on fire with no training whatsoever.
Probably for free, because you have to show them that you can
do it. No, it doesn't sound like it's for free. You had to pay a fire coordinator, correct, when you were doing this for fun or learning?
Well, my trick is that I would come in with my red camera and would film for them. And I would say, hey, I'm going to pre-vis for you guys. I'm going to shoot with the stunt people. And then, you know, you can like give me some training expertise in return.
Right.
And that all started because I wanted to direct. I wanted to make action movies.
Right.
So I just happened to be close to stunt people, network with stunt people, and film for them. And then that's how I got my first stunt job.
So you have a video folder somewhere where it's like, oh, this is me jumping off a building. This is me on fire. This is me rolling a car, right? They're like, hey, what do you want to do? And then you show them the video, or you send them the video, and they're like, all right, let's have a meeting. Wow, that's crazy. Yeah.
Leo, we need some of the footage so we can put it on this.
Sure.
Yes. That'd be great.
Yeah.
And so then... it is interesting because you would think that the great action directors have some background in this to figure all of that stuff out. Because even our little fight scene Connolly did with Seth Green and Entourage, like we had fight coordinators and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, shit, this is more complicated than I thought.
Your stunt double went over railing, like he went backwards on the table.
I was like,
it was a great scene.
It was so fun.
Connolly did not like the choreography. Or you were happy with the way it finished or not?
Well, I mean, we just were at a standstill. I wasn't letting Seth Green throw me over the rim. That's all there is to it. Call it what you want.
So how do you transition into directing, or I guess the same thing like I did and Kevin did, made short films on your own? Is that what you did?
Yes. So I've always made short films. That's a great question because I'm actually been meditating on that right now. It was 2 months ago that I made a huge commitment to not do stunts or any other set bullshit anymore.
So you can focus.
I'm like... if I don't make money, if I can't work as a director, I'm not working. I'm not gonna pay rent, right? You know, but it's scary, but I think it's the right thing to do. Right?
So have you not gotten paid as a director yet?
Not yet.
I mean, that is, it's wild.
It's better than
that could be my fault. That could be my incorrect strategy for the last 15 years of just saying, oh, I can do directing on the side. You know, I'll do stunts. I'll do DP. I'll do AC. I'll do PA, whatever.
You're saying maybe you should have reined that in a little bit earlier and locked in on,
yes,
on the directing.
But it also took me a long time to feel confident enough to call myself a director without feeling like a charlatan.
Yeah. Right.
You know, it's like, you know.
I mean, I think there's different paths that everyone takes, but I think, you know, directing is such a tough one. Either you go out and make a movie and show people you can work, or you AD or you be a cinematographer until somebody maybe gives you that break. But
Absolutely,
I think these films that you're making, and again, I haven't seen anything else that you've done, which I would like to see, but even the one you just did clearly shows you know how to make an action film.
Do you shoot?
Thank you for that.
Do you shoot? Are you the cinematographer as well, or you use people?
I use people. Yeah,
you do.
I do shoot. I do.
Okay.
I love working as a DP for, you know.
So you can do it. So
I can
you can
do
take
it.
Your red camera.
Yes.
Get a couple of your friends, which I'm guessing is what you did with
the
Queens Boulevard Film Festival.
Yes.
Leo, what did you spend on that?
Around, I think, $2,500. It was basically rent.
That's what Connolly spends at Dan Tanis.
Hey, Scotty, what was your vote?
I think I said like seven.
No.
7,000? I wish
you
I had
7,000. You said 20,000. Who said 20,000?
I said like 30,000.
You guys said high. I went low.
Right. Avery said 20. Stephen Fearberg, who's a great cinematographer.
Yes.
Entourage for many years, The Affair.
Yeah.
He was like, this is $35,000. There's just no way around it. You did it for two grand.
I wish I had that kind of money to pay people properly, you know, but I'm very thankful all my stunt people came for free. And
right.
The actor just donated their time and the location.
I'm blown away. My first short film, which is negotiated location.
Right.
My first short film called The Pitch is just a series of people talking to the camera. The film, the camera. I mean, we spent, and that was 1990.
There was a hard cost on film in those days, just getting it developed and all that kind of stuff.
There was no way around it. So you got this whole group together. You wrote this.
Mm-hmm.
You just say to them, hey, do me a favor. I work for you on something. Come do this. Yes. And how many days did it take to shoot this?
It took one night for the bar and half a day for the alleyway.
Thank you. That's what I said. I said they were a full day and then they probably came back the next night to do the exterior with the rain machine and all that kind of stuff. I was like, it was contained. So it was 1.5 days you did that in.
Yeah. I mean, you don't want to ask people for too much of their time when you're not paying people. You know, I couldn't do 3 or 4 days.
Connolly's asked me to be here for 3 years now. I've been here at this desk for three years. You know what they say, and
Doug, I wonder if you knew this in your early filmmaking days. They say, like, when you're doing that, you got to have just good food.
Yes.
Yeah.
And we did. That's where the $2,500 went to, just buying food and drinks and making sure people were happy, just taking care of people.
So how'd you come up with the concept?
Well, I love action movies, and I looked at all of Entourage, and Hyde stood out, right?
Now, did you watch Entourage? Crazy.
Of course.
Okay,
yeah.
Did you listen to the podcast, or someone said, hey, they're
doing— No, I've been listening to podcasts. Oh, man, I have stories about that, because the first time you guys did the contest, I so wanted to enter, right? But I was stuck in the Army. So side story, during the height of COVID, I joined—
The American Army?
Yeah, I joined the Army. I just came back in December and then jumped right into shooting.
How long in the Army?
3 years.
What the fuck?
It was the shortest contract I could get.
I've done nothing since COVID.
Zero quests, nothing. Bucket list. No, you play pickleball and bought a house and have a baby. That's incredible. That's amazing. No.
Right. Wow, that's crazy. So you watched the show, you come up with the concept, the Hyde struck out at you.
Sorry, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh, you were saying about the last film festival.
The last film festival, when you guys announced it, I was sitting on the tarmac on my way to South Korea with the Army. I was like in a hole, like at like 4 a.m, like sitting around in full kit, full uniform and M4 on my side and everything. I was listening to a podcast. I'm like, man, I missed the film industry. Why did I do this? I should be back in LA.
I'm not going to serve that country. I want to go hang out with those lowlifes in Hollywood,
making movies. You know, I might stand a chance at like doing something cool, and Kevin might see it, and that'd be awesome. And you know, I was kicking myself for signing up, and went to South Korea and served and. Saw that Tyler Mendelsohn won, and it was amazing, and chatted with him for a little bit, and then came back, and then this came around.
This is really awesome. And how long did it take you to write this?
It's a couple of days. Yeah. I mean, 2 or 3 days. I'm not the best writer. I'm not proud of the writing out there at all. I think it's serviceable. I try to insert all of the
Entourage
references.
And what movies inspired you? Is this a little, what was the cruise movie? Was that an inspiration at all? What's the... They have that great bar scene.
Cocktail?
Was it Collateral, maybe? I don't know.
Collateral.
So, Collateral. Face Off has been good.
Yeah, Michael Mann's Collateral is an awesome action movie for sure. People say John Wick, but it's really like the old John Woo action movies.
Face Off.
The 80s Face Off is amazing, right? Just that bullet time.
Do you like Face Off or you like the older John Woo stuff?
I like Face Off.
You did? Yeah.
Just big fan of just Nick Cage and John Travolta going off each other.
We were watching it in there earlier today.
Amazing.
We literally had it on today. Yeah, it's on Hulu. No.
Yeah.
We were watching it. It's just so good. And even it's good enough to where you go, okay, I can get over the fact that they changed each other's faces.
It's that good.
Yeah. And it's like right now we're watching Travolta do his best Nick Cage and Nick Cage do his best Travolta. It just hit on all. So I think that, you know, arguably it's hard to argue. I know John Woo's done some good stuff.
Oh, he's amazing.
Face Off. Is
for his American movies, I actually love Broken Arrow. And I love
Broken Arrow.
Impossible 2 with swishing long hair Tom Cruise. I love that stuff. Yeah.
So who are your big inspirations besides John Woo? Like, who are your action directors?
Again, Jackie Chan, but like, talk about him as a filmmaker, like the 80s Jackie, where he he's dictating the shots and choreography and everything, right? Before the American stuff. And like I said, really gravitated towards Tim Burton movies because of the relating to being an outcast, right, you know, in society and,
interesting,
and art and creativity kind of saving your life.
And do you have a script now that you want to make? Or
I do. I want to go back to Vietnam.
Yeah.
And make a movie about growing up in Vietnam and how video games and, in essence, creativity and inspiration can help you break out of a stifling situation.
And did you hire someone to write a script? Did you find a script?
No, I'm writing that myself. Yeah.
And how's it going?
Awful. It's a struggle.
Doug was so happy to hear you say that.
It's so awful. I'm not a writer. The only time I can write well is when I'm pulling direct experiences from my childhood, from my history.
Yeah. And, but that's okay. You know, that can give you a lot. Yeah.
But I do have writing friends who are helping me on different projects.
Yeah. Yeah.
But you have the skill set to go out and shoot, whether it's a sizzle reel or a scene or some kind of, because a lot of it is you go, what is this going to look like visually, right?
Right.
Like as an actor, if it's like, okay, this guy's a first-time director, or, you know, you go, what, show me something.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And you obviously can create, just based on what you did on the festival. All right, just so I want to make sure I get all these in there. So 1.5 days.
Yes.
Prep was like you by yourself, or like did you have somebody you were kicking ideas around with? Like, did you storyboard it? Did you rehearse? What did you do?
I didn't storyboard it, but I pre-vised it. So pre-visualization is bringing your stunt people over, and that's the shoot I did in my living room with just my DSLR and just rearrange all my furniture to look like the layout of the bar, and then we shot through exactly how I envisioned it to end up.
So you did like a visual shot list.
We saw that.
So that's the previous that posted on Instagram story.
Yeah. I do remember that video. I think we have to post that.
The thing that threw me off about the video, I was thinking like, yo, did they do this all in a green screen?
Yeah, no.
That's what I was thinking. I was like, what is going on?
I feel very stupid. That's what I thought.
No, it's fine.
I was like, we've been duped. We've been duped. They shot that in their living room. And how'd you get the rain machine? That's a tough favor to pull, the rain machine.
So funny thing. No, I've shot rain several times. It's one of my favorite things to shoot, right?
It's great.
I always use just a garden hose on top of a ladder and backlight it really well. But we got so lucky that night because it actually rained.
It was raining.
And we timed it. We were like, hey, let's pick a night where it's actually going to rain like crazy. And it was like the one
week. In LA?
Yeah, it was raining like crazy.
Oh, remember? Yes. Definitely was raining.
And I just wouldn't time a film shoot around it raining in LA.
So I was like, I don't deal with this. I'm talent. I can't say when it's going to rain.
They don't like bags and cover up the cameras, you know. That thought ran through my head. I'm like, I hope everyone who's entering the Queens Boulevard Film Festival is filming this week because it's raining and it's perfect for that. For
I
that
thought
line.
The same thing.
Yeah,
like,
I know. Yeah,
we'll
be thinking
around.
About that. Yeah. Right.
By the way, Leo, just so you know, because everyone out there, just putting this effort in, and honestly, the talent is
crazy,
clearly there. But Connolly was supposed to deliver a short film himself. You said you were going to do it.
I'd really want to see it.
You know,
I really want to see it.
You got a baby.
We had to fire the editor.
what do you still need to do on it? You just like
We needed some more, bro. We needed some post production work.
This movie's going to die.
Skeletons. Listen,
why don't you give it to Leo? Let him spruce it up a little bit.
That's what I'm saying. I'll come work for.
What effects did you use? What was now for people listening? There's a practical effect, and then there's a special effect. Practical effect. I mean, if the Gatorade bottle falls, it really falls, right? Yes. So what was practical? Obviously, the hide look at the end was a special effect, right?
Visual effects,
sorry.
In the computer afterwards, right? Practical effects or special effects that we use, I mean, as much as we can. All the gunshots, flares were visual effects, right?
No guns.
No.
Right.
No, but broken bottle, baby powder. I put a lot of baby powder onto people's body movements to enhance their movements to get like dust and just like old Hong Kong trick.
Do you feel stupid right now, Doug?
Oh, totally. Totally.
What do you mean you cover them in baby powder? For what? So that when they move, there might be a little bit of...
Right. Well, you want to enhance the movement and the action, right? So you justify it by saying like, hey, it's dusty, like it's a dusty bar. And you're putting baby powder all over the table so that when it hit the table, there's puffs of dirt and such, you know. And I bought some breakaway bottles and laid them around. And
Are they real guns?
Not it. So
no live rounds.
No,
but
no.
Guns.
So I work as a firearms trainer, and I've worked as a firearms advisor on set. Right. And I just went and took all of the firing pins out of my gun. So they become
still,
non-guns.
I'm still not
sets.
Comprehending so how they cannot make fake guns.
Well,
at this point.
He's saying that.
That's what we do. Yeah. We take real guns, but we take out. No.
I understand that. I'm shocked that the industry has not made guns that,
where it does basically everything.
Where there is
but
no
shoot.
Way it could shoot.
Well, because there's something to wait, right, for an actor.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, of course.
No, but that, you have a point. We should, you know, maybe that's our next.
It's a multi-trillion-dollar industry.
Something to think about.
By the way,
you need
next pandemic. Connelly and I are starting this business. We got to do something. I have to accomplish something. Have you seen Cinema Paradiso?
I have not.
Oh, you should see that, because that is about a kid during wartime. I believe it's World War II. It won the Oscar, Best Foreign Film.
Doug also makes things up, so that might not.
No. I know this movie. I know all this movie.
But it's about a kid who loses himself in movies as opposed to video games during war-torn, I believe, World War I or II. But, you know, similar concept, and I like the idea of the video games, and you know, and because it is such an escape for people. So
right, well, that was my childhood. You know,
did you
the
shoot?
90s and,
were you the DP?
I was the DP on that. Yes,
you asked this already.
Yeah,
no, I didn't know. When I said he is a DP, but I didn't know if he actually DP'd this one himself.
I try not to claim that title because I don't want to work as a DP in my career, and there's like plenty of amazing DPs with actual DP training and knowledge.
Yeah, it's good to have an eye for it, but you don't want to do it.
Correct.
Right.
And that's how I approach filmmaking with everything. Like, I learned stunts, I learned DPing. I'm gonna shadow makeup. I'm gonna shadow different sound, whatever different department. You know, I edit myself just so I can direct better and so I can work with a team better, not because I want to do it myself.
And you lit the shit out of that movie, bro.
Thank you. I have a really good gaffer.
Really
I have
good
an amazing
gaffers,
gaffer.
Kate.
Yeah, and two awesome ACs, like just professional union guys that came to work for me for just helping.
How
me
deep
out for
was
free.
The crew? How many?
I think that was it. Like, we got
Doug,
like
what just
I
make
just,
us feel worse. Than
what I just listed was it for sure. Right. You know,
it's really unbelievable. And are you getting this out there to people? I mean, we'll post it again. But you know, I mean, have you gotten an agent?
No. So
how is that possible?
I have. Well, my career has been kind of up and down, and you know, it's just a roller coaster of working and I guess. Being an up-and-coming filmmaker in Los Angeles, you know, I was on Project Greenlight season 4.
No.
So when
you
brought
serious?
It up on
this
podcast,
Project Greenlight.
I'm going to rewatch
I knew
Project Greenlight.
You had seen me and my work. It was day one. It was the post-apocalyptic film, and you know, I was in the show. It's in season 4, so I got to meet Ben and Matt, and they told me, I mean, like,
how far did you get?
I got onto the actual show, but I wasn't the guy selected to do the actual movie on the show.
Right.
So episode 1 and the last one when they like brought everyone back for the red carpet party.
Everyone should watch Project Greenlight.
You didn't lose the Beanie Bros, did you? Remember Beanie Bros?
I do remember Beanie Bros. Adrian Valentino?
I forgot the name.
Beanie Bros? Really cool guy. I did not lose to him. I mean,
there's
none
no
of us,
losers. Scotty.
No, we none of us felt
this
like
isn't
losers.
Like the Marvis Dementia.
Right. Right. There were no losers. And that's what we were talking about before you came on, right? We just for the sake of the contest, you had to put one, but at the end of the day, everybody there were definitely no losers.
Yeah, and they were completely
other ones
different
that were kind of on the cusp that were really good as well.
Yeah, both of them. Tyler's and who was the other guy?
Ben Simon.
Yeah.
Yep. Jonathan
Ben Simon. I spoke to him last night. Yeah.
The coolest thing about you running this kind of contest or festival or whatever, it's just like Project Greenlight. It brought like-minded filmmakers together.
Friends.
We've been Tyler Mendelson came to visit. He got engaged 2 weeks ago. I don't know if I should like out
congrats,
him like this,
Tyler.
But yeah, congrats.
By the way, I hope his girlfriend knows.
Yeah, was he here? We were gonna try. You weren't, and you were in the desert, but we were gonna try to get him in to record. We'll get Tyler. Yeah,
wait, so you're friends with them before this?
Just No.
We brought the community together, Doug.
I became friends through Queens Boulevard Film Festival. We just reached out to each
other. I gotta tell you, what I really love
is nice?
Well, I love that Ben is French Canadian.
Yep.
Yes.
You are Vietnamese.
I am.
Mm-hmm. Tyler's American.
Yeah.
But I love that because honestly, I would have never thought that.
That's why
you know,
it is the Queens Boulevard International Film Festival.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's exciting to know that. And hopefully you appreciated Entourage. But, you know, I just looked at what all of them did. And Ben's was more comedic, though it looked great and the acting was great. Tyler's was like a trailer. Like it looks like a movie.
His was also very inside as well. Mm-hmm. Like he shot. in on the street where we shot. He shot under the bridge. He shot all the locations, and you did that very well as well. It's kind of a wink and a nod to the podcast and our entourage, but you know, we heard the victory and you heard the victory and I knew right away.
DP as well. And
he is right.
Yeah. And he like ran around and like took all the shots in New York. I mean,
the casting was great too, though. I mean that the bad guy is.
Oh, do you know where he's from?
No.
Miraj Grbić. He is from Mission Impossible Ghost Protocol.
Oh, I knew I've seen his face before. He's
Bogdan.
He's like, got like a fucking presence.
Yeah, he's amazing.
So he's a friend?
He is now. Oh, he answered my phone call. I had no idea he would.
How do you find his name?
I actually knew him through, he appeared in another fellow Project Greenlight's filmmaker.
Wow.
So
a friend of the filmmaker.
So I texted that filmmaker, asked for his number. I think I met him at a party like through Project Greenlight 8 years ago. So I called him up and he's like, I don't remember.
This is what everyone needs to do out there if you're listening who wants to make films. And honestly, this is what I used to do. I mean, all my first cast from The Pitch was from softball games. David Schwimmer before Friends and Johnny Silverman from a million things.
You got to dig into the book.
We may have to do that now, Kevin. We should go make a film. You want to make a short film?
A short film?
Yeah, make a 3-minute, 90-second film.
We couldn't finish The Queen's Boulevard.
Put some action there. Put some stunts in there. I'll be
there. And it's crazy. And I love to hear that you guys are in touch and talking to each other and we're all I would see on the socials like very complimentary of each other's work and you know, even I'm telling you, there's other as we get through this after we interview all you guys, there's a couple others that were worth mentioning because there's some of the creativity on some of it. I mean, there was some that were just, you know, one shot that was like hilarious, but you go, how can you compare that, just the degree of difficulty is different than what you did. So even the ones that didn't make the final three, there were still five or six really, really, really good films that we want to air.
Question is what the next one will be, because this was a good idea. And I, you know, I didn't think to see you guys go so inside the show and the podcast, but also make it original and cool. It was awesome. It's very
because the last one we did was a little bit more loose, right? Yep. So anybody, there basically were no rules.
What was the last one?
We did a horror. It had to be, it was 3 minutes.
Oh, it had nothing to do with us.
It had nothing to do with us. But, you know, this one sort of squeezed out a certain, almost everyone that we got was legit because it really took time for you to even be to justify you not wasting your time. You couldn't use an old movie that you made a couple of years ago. And, you know, it had to be made. There was just specific things that had to happen. So the level of quality was much greater on the second go around.
I like the action comedy idea, though. I think we should do a Medellin, have everyone make a Medellin trailer.
Scene, right? I mean, I think it's a great. There's a huge crossover between Entourage fans and filmmakers, and especially independent filmmakers, because we watch the show because we want to live and work and have the dream of being in Hollywood, and so I think we speak to a lot of filmmakers on this podcast. So
Jonathan and Leo and Tyler should be voting members.
Sure.
Of the next festival. Would you guys do that?
That would
you guys
be great. Down with that? Yeah, I can't speak for the other two, but I would love that. We'll figure out what.
It's tricky. We got lucky with the Queens Boulevard one because it was obvious and you knew it was kind of fun, and, you know, but I don't know. Medellin might be tough, bro. What do you think about that?
No, I think the tougher it is, the more, I mean, I love ambitious projects. I mean,
so that gets you excited.
What's tough about
well,
it?
That's what I'm saying. Like, the more ambitious, the more ambitious you get, the better the films will be and the fewer the submissions, if that makes any sense.
Maybe. I mean, because, you know, you could make a very very simple Medellin. Like you said, it could be a scene. It could be, you know, one of those great scenes of you know, Scarface with just two people in a room, or it could be someone who goes crazy.
I mean, can you imagine cutting this guy
loose? I mean, I'm just remembering when Mylod shot that trailer, you know, and you know, there were budget limitations, nowhere near what yours were, obviously.
Clearly.
But, I mean, I was blown away what Mylod came up with in that thing. You know what I mean? Like, I still stand by the fact that Medellin looks like a good movie, you know?
Right. Who was your co-star? She was also your female counterpart. She was also pretty badass.
Queens Boulevard.
Yeah, Queens Boulevard.
Oh, Gabby Woodworth. She's a
stunt woman as well.
No.
Really?
She's very young. I've known her for 8 or 9 years. I used to teach filmmaking at a church called Mosaic on Hollywood, and she was part of that filmmaking group. And
yeah,
you know, as like a youth group, as like a kid.
She looks like an action hero.
How many setups did you do in that one night?
Hard to say because of the way I shoot, right?
One camera?
Yeah, we ran with one camera the whole time. We shoot for the edit, like we shoot Hong Kong style. So thanks to the previs, I know exactly what shot I need, right, and only 3 or 4 seconds at a time of that exact shot.
Wow!
And that's really the only way we can do this kind of independent.
So when
you're
saying the previs,
quickly,
you do it on the computer.
The previs is the living room shoot that I did already.
Okay,
All right. I had the plan already. And I cut out stuff from there because I knew it was not necessary,
right,
for the story. So we went in and we just took the exact shots we needed. So basically in the edit, it's like the last take of every setup is what we use.
Wow. Right? So, because
there's no master, maybe we should get a shot, just for shits and giggles. None of that.
Why don't we go out and do an insert? Doug, this is a good thing. These are good filmmaker problems. But
no, but I'm ahead because I mean—
No, remember on the Entourage movie— Yeah. We were done with the day. The day was done. And I was like, we're done. Doug's like, yeah, but we're here. Let's do another shot. Let's do a shot. You wanted to do a shot. You're like, well, we shouldn't just go home. We're here. Like, let's make up, let's do shots. Like, what, do you want to go home early? You were trying to tell.
Well, yeah, if we have extra time. But I mean, in the Entourage pilot, the last—
Well, that was different.
No, but the last shot of the show, when the Lucifer song starts, we were done. And I said, you know what? Let's get a wide here. And I already knew Venner had already given me the song, and I had already heard it in my head how the cut was going to go. So we just got, and again, it's not like some fucking, it's not Citizen Kane, but I just wanted that last shot. But
he's saying he did not have that, right?
Like, well, I don't have that luxury.
You don't have that luxury, you know, but also.
I would love to have.
I don't have the luxury of what he has. I'm not an action director, so I'm jealous, but I'm not, because it's just not my thing. But you have to be so precise to get stuff done on budget when you're doing that. I'm obviously much more of a dialogue, you know, character storyteller. So you have a lot more leeway to fuck around and worry about your actors with what you're trying to get accomplished in a night, which is why I'm so absolutely blown away that you're able to do that, even with your living room practice. I mean, I just, it's crazy to me.
And was, how do you approach safety? I mean, obviously safety is a big deal, but on something that on a smaller budget like that, what do you do best to ensure everybody's,
that
they feel safe?
It's always good to have an experienced stunt coordinator. Right. So on that set, usually on these practice sets that I do, it's all stunt people running cast and crew and everything.
Right.
You know? So I'll still designate like the most experienced stunt person to be the coordinator, safety coordinator, and we'll bring mats and pads and we'll pad it wherever we can, and we'll
show that the guns are clear. And
absolutely. Oh yeah, we clear it before every shot. We involve guns. You know. Yeah, rehearse the falls with mats, you know, pull the mats out if you need to see the landing impact, and just take it as—
I mean, that's got to be terrifying.
And he's also speaks very matter-of-factly about it.
Yeah, but that's got to be terrifying. You show up for this $2,000 shoot, there's guns, there's a whole thing. Do you show people the living room stuff first and go,
yes,
this is what we're doing?
Yeah, I have it on my iPad. I like walk through it so people know exactly what the shot is.
That's why Fearberg thought it was so expensive.
Yeah.
Is there just no way to do it? It can't be done in a day, Fearberg. But, you know, that's it. That's like, it's all about prep, right?
Yep.
I mean, the more prep you do, the better, the easier the day will go. That is also just executing the plan.
The less money you have, the faster you will move. I mean, that is a fact, you know? And, you know, season one, we were doing double what we were doing season eight, you know, you know, it was fun, even though it was late nights and it was stuff like that. So it is sometimes interesting when you're doing guerrilla filmmaking, you know, I mean, like we've talked about this before, but I grabbed the camera and put Piven in the ivy and put the camera in the back of my car and just shot scenes. Right. And that's, you know, that's always kind of wild. But you permitted this, or did you get permits and everything, or?
We got permit for the location, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, we were allowed to shoot there, yeah.
That's wild.
The bar, like, I'm friends with the bartender. She actually appeared in it.
He has more friends
You're gonna get your shot, buddy.
Thank you.
Yeah. I believe that.
Take your time on the development of whatever the project is, because when you decide this is what it is, it will dominate every ounce of you for years to come. Mm-hmm. Just make sure that script is right, bro.
And when you think about that script, what kind of budget do you think you need to do it right?
Depending on the script. We talk about this one where I want to go do in Vietnam. I'm thinking 5, 10 million. I
like that. I thought I was going to say 50, 75.
Breakdown or anything.
You
know? Well, that's why I want to shoot in Vietnam. Yeah, the money can go much further over there.
Right.
You know? Or like Thailand or whatever. Like,
all right. Well, I know you got the army. You're making fucking movies and this and that. But let's get the script going. What's happening with the script? I mean, you got to get this going.
Yeah, I'm writing it. I'm working on it. But in the meantime, like, I know that's like a few years away, right? In the meantime, I want to join DGA. I want to work as a director. Like, I want to get paid as a director. So there's directing programs that. Like a lot of studios have director trainee programs mm-hmm. where they'll attach you with a TV network director, and then you get to direct a couple episodes afterwards if they like you, hopefully. So,
what about acting class?
Joining. I haven't done a lot of acting classes, but I talk to actors.
That's what some people say. I mean,
I really want to do.
For directors to spend a little time in acting class to get an understanding of actors and what makes them tick, because they can be messy.
Yeah.
Yes, they can.
Well, Leo, thank you so much, man. This is very cool. Doug and I now feel, right? We're just doing nothing.
I'm wasting my life.
We're doing nothing.
No question. My 50s have been a complete bust.
From time to time.
The truth is, when I was 21, it was like every day trying to figure out what I could do and hustle. And now I play a lot of pickleball, which I'm going to beat your ass, Leo.
Let's find out. Let's see.
Well, Leo, I'm glad that you guys all connected and you guys are all friends. I think it's a great idea to have them as panelists on the next for the next film festival.
And we should talk to them about what they think a good idea would be for it. And anyone who's got a good idea is listening.
Yep.
You know, within reason.
If I can throw out something there, I was on Reddit the other day and I saw someone posted that they remade the Entourage intro sequence.
Oh, really?
And that could be really fun for people to do, right? Make your own version, make your own variation. Because now you have a framework. You have the music already, but you have the car driving, the overhead.
By the way, Chandler Parsons is selling that car. He has the car, not the
That's a really car. Interesting idea. Take your version of the title sequence.
What are you saying? Are you saying?
You could do it your friends. You could show your friend group. It doesn't have to be.
Create a title sequence that is inspired by the Entourage title sequence.
Yeah. But it doesn't have to be anything like it. It doesn't have to be a car. It doesn't have to be a story.
It's early stages of the idea.
I'm just throwing
it. I'm pitching.
What do you think?
What do I think?
Yeah. What do you think? Should it have to be resemble? Like, what are the ground rules? Because what was the other thing about this one? The good ground rule. You just got to say, I am Queens Boulevard.
Right.
You know? What would the ground rules be?
Well, I would like, me
that
personally.
That Lincoln's hard to find.
I would get it away. I would combine it. I would do an intro to Victory, the podcast, which is also about friendship. That is inspired by the Entourage thing, but is different and unique and original in some way. You know? Mm-hmm. Like, we don't want to just see 40 people with different cars, you know, driving around LA.
How about if there were to be an Entourage reboot, a remake, what would the intro be like?
Interesting.
So a future.
Interesting.
A future potential Entourage thing, what would you make the trailer be?
We'll see what people say.
I want to see Leo. Connelly and Dylan get out of their car with guns
Let's just hire Leo to do it.
Yeah.
Leo, thank you so much for coming in, man.
Thank you, guys.
This is awesome.
Yep.
This is crazy.
Appreciate it.
Good stuff.